Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, I'll be answering some of your questions that you sent in via email or by leaving us a review on iTunes, and most of them have to do with Jimmy Butler. And if you want to contribute to our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/lockedonheat and clicking on the link for the questionnaire. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat in the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg. My usual co-host, David Vermil, not here today. He is traveling. He will be at Miami Heat Media Day today, on Monday. I'm recording this on a Sunday. So he's traveling tonight. I'll be answering some of your mailbag questions today, because that's what we do here on Mondays. But a quick disclaimer, there has been reports that the Heat are in pursuit of Jimmy Butler, and this podcast, like I said, is being recorded before anything happens with that, Sunday night. Though a lot of our questions are about Jimmy Butler, so if Butler is traded by the time you're hearing this, please don't be mad at me. It's not my fault. Blame the concept of time, or the universe, or the Timberwolves, but not me, okay? Good. All right. Let's get to it. First question. This one comes from Billy, who asks, would a Heat team leaning heavily on Goran Dragic, Father Prime, a.k.a. Dwayne Wade, Billy, and Jimmy Butler be enough to challenge Boston? That is a fundamental question to all of this Jimmy Butler stuff, right? Because you trade, the common concept is that you trade for the superstar if you can get the superstar, right? But we're in an NBA right now where it's not a typical NBA. It's more star-driven than ever at the very top, right? This is where we have stars coming together, obviously most notably with Golden State, but then you also have Houston, you've got Boston, you've got Philadelphia, you've got really, really strong teams at the very top, Toronto. And so the acquisition of one star, even a top 15 player, top 12 player, in my opinion, and Jimmy Butler, might not get you there, especially when, you know, your second best player is Goran Dragic, who, I don't know, what, top 50 in the NBA, maybe? I have him in my top 60. Josh Richardson, if you don't have to part with him, is right there too, I think, but you might have to trade him to get Jimmy Butler. So really, you're looking at Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, and then the last year of Dwayne Wade. I don't think that is enough to challenge Boston. I don't think it gets Miami very close at all. I don't know who on that team. Look, Jason Tatum is a stud, and he could be better than Jimmy Butler within the next 2 years. That's not inconceivable, and he's not even Boston's best player. He's not even Boston's second best player at this point. I mean, that is, you've got Kyrie Irving and Al Horford who are their best players there. I think Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler are comparable as far as quality, but they're both right around that top 15 range, but Al Horford is better than anybody else Miami has, and then the rest of their depth is way beyond anything else the Heat have. So all of that together just gives Boston a huge edge. I don't think it's enough to challenge them, but then again, Jimmy Butler's really good friends with Kyrie Irving. And one of the reasons you make this trade is to get Jimmy Butler in your room so that he can go out and recruit other players to go play in Miami. One of those players might be Kyrie Irving. Now, if we start talking about the Heat trading for Jimmy Butler, and then a season from now, you not only strengthen your own team by adding a Kyrie Irving, but you're weakening probably the best team in the East in Boston by taking away Kyrie Irving. That's why you do this trade. You don't do that. And I don't think that, Billy, to go back to your question here, I don't think that you're saying that you don't do the trade or you do the trade based on if you can challenge Boston. I think you're just wondering if this, even if it is constructed the way it is, does it challenge Boston? No, I don't think they challenge Boston. But that said, in a couple years, I think you can challenge Boston. That's why you do the Jimmy Butler deal. Now, of course, there's a lot of things that go into that, right? You have to figure out how to sign Kyrie Irving, meaning you got to get cap space. You've got to do some You have to make some trade deadline deals. You're going to have to basically gut this roster, even if it's to sign one other max player, and that's going to be really difficult. I mean, there's a few roads to get there, but it basically involves trading almost all of Miami's assets, and if they want to do that, they can do that, and Pat Riley has done it before. He did it in pursuit of the 2010 free agency class with LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. If Jimmy Butler can play the Dwayne Wade role here, you start lumping your assets on top of guys like Whiteside, on top of Waiters. I think James Johnson is more tradable than people think. I'm calling my shot right now. James Johnson is, if he's traded, he's on Houston. It works. He ends up on the Rockets by the end of the year. I don't have any information, but it just works cap wise. It makes sense. I think they have a need for a guy like James Johnson, and I think you could see them trading a late first round pick. Because they're going to be picking in the top, you know, they're going to be picking 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. They're going to be right around there. They could part with one of those picks, a first-round pick for James Johnson. Makes a lot of sense. And makes sense for the Heat to get off of that salary if they make a Jimmy Butler trade. You have to start taking those $10 to $14 million contracts and start trying to move them out. And obviously everybody wants to look at Tyler and Hassan Whiteside, and you want to look at the Deion Waiters contract and say move those, but it might be easier to move the Kelly Olynyk, the James Johnson contract, a Goran Dragic contract. Those are the contracts you start moving if you get Butler. And you don't move them right away. I don't think you move them right away. I think you go and see, can you challenge Boston with Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, and all these other pieces? You have to see how good you are. But by February's trade deadline, if you don't think you're that good, or if Jimmy Butler maybe has some information talking to his buddy Kyrie Irving, talking to his friend up in Toronto and Kawhi Leonard, talking to some other guys around the league, if he's got some intel that one of those guys could be coming to South Beach, then he relays that information to the front office, and then in February, they start selling off parts. That's how you do this stuff. I mean, in 2009, one of the big contracts Miami had to move was Sean Marion. They didn't do that before the season. They didn't do that after the season. They did that in February. They did that at the trade deadline. Traded Sean Marion to Toronto for expiring contracts, for Jermaine O'Neal. I mean, that's what they did. And so you kind of look at that same model. If, again, they are able to trade for Jimmy Butler, then you look at that model. You look at, okay, let's see what we got, but we know by a trade deadline, these are some valuable pieces. James Johnson might be more valuable at the trade deadline for a playoff contender, maybe trying to get a versatile wing defender to take on Houston or Golden State, or in my prediction, I think Houston tries to get him to take on Golden State. Deion Waiters even. If there's a team out there with an injured guard who is a contender, a real contender, Deion Waiters could have value if he bounces back from that injury. So, I don't think a Heat team that leans on Dragic and Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade could contend with Boston, but I do think it is a top 4 or 5 team in the East. I really do. And just based on, you know, you finally have a shot creator, a consistent shot creator, and then a two-way defender like Jimmy Butler, plus Goran Dragic, plus the depth that Miami has. Not as strong as Boston's, but still really good in the Eastern Conference. I think it gets there. All right, we'll get to another question about Jimmy Butler. But first, I want to tell you about two new shows we have here at the Locked On Podcast Network. First, there's Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, which breaks down the latest transactions, injuries, and waiver suggestions. Then we have Locked On Fantasy Football Experts, which includes a stud list of guests every day from places like Pro Football Focus, Sports Hub, Technologies, and Pro Football Weekly. They break down and analyze all things fantasy football to help you win your league. So check those out on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, don't you love to have a great night out? I know I do. Whether it's seeing a band in person or being right there in the crowd to cheer on the Heat. But that stuff costs money. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to. You could sort by price or look for the seats in the section and row of your choice if you already know where you want to sit. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners to this podcast an exclusive promo code for $20 off any order of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or go to Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app and use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. That's a big deal. For the biggest concerts and games, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your order of at least $200. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event and make a memory that lasts a lifetime. We do have a non-Butler related question, but we have one more Butler related question first, so let's get to that. PJ asks, with recent rumors of Minnesota wanting Josh Richardson in any deal, that means we have to offer an extension to Justice Winslow, right? We have to keep one of those guys with Bam.
Yeah.
The Heat have three young players, the Chai Youngvren. They have three guys, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, that basically represent their entire future, right? And so you got to think that, yeah, if you move, you can't move two of them to get Jimmy Butler. I don't see how that makes sense for Miami, especially when you've got to pay Jimmy Butler out the wazoo. You've got to have guys on rookie scale contracts in order to build around him, right? It's not just the youth. It's not the development. It's not the untapped talent. It's not all that stuff. I mean, it's part of that, right? That's part of it. But it's also the fact that they're underpaid. They're on rookie scale deals. You control them for two contracts, essentially. You get a guy like Josh Richardson at $10 million a year. That's a huge value, especially compared to a guy like Deion Waiters at $14 million a year, right? That's another. And so if you're paying a guy like Jimmy Butler between $30 and $40 million a year, those rookie contracts become even more valuable, right? Because now you start building around Butler with guys who can get better on good deals. And then you, of course, you have to sign free agents elsewhere. Maybe you're able to, like we just talked about, maybe you're able to wedge in another max deal somehow. But ultimately, you want to try to hold on to guys like Winslow and Bam and Richardson because they represent so much value. And those guys are even more valuable when you've got maybe one or two players taking up most of the cap space. So, yeah, you want to absolutely hold on to two of those guys. If you have to part with one of them to get Butler, that you understand that. You get that. I mean, more likely than not, again, recording this before anything happens, more likely than not, Miami's going to have to part with one of those guys to get Jimmy Butler. From what I understand, they are very reluctant to part with Josh Richardson. They would prefer to move Justice Winslow. If Minnesota wants Josh Richardson, not Justice Winslow, well, then that's where we start negotiating. Or maybe no trade deal is done. We'll see. But ultimately, if you can move maybe Justice Winslow plus another contract for Jimmy Butler and you're able to keep Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo, that's the best case scenario, right? Because now you can pair, first of all, Richardson pairs really nicely with Jimmy Butler on the perimeter. Bam Adebayo makes for a nice lob partner for him and perimeter or paint presence for Jimmy Butler. So that part makes sense. You want to try to keep two of those guys. You have to try to keep two of those guys. It's not worth it if you move both of them. So now, if Minnesota demands Richardson and Miami ultimately gives up Josh Richardson, then yes, you do have to sign Winslow to that extension. But the tough part about that is if Miami then wants to create max cap space, it's tough to give Justice Winslow that extension. Now, you can offer him... You can offer him the extension now, but he'll be due $10 million-ish next year if he's going to get the Josh Richardson deal, which is probably right about what he's worth at this point. So if Winslow signs an extension now, it doesn't necessarily help them in the future. And it doesn't help them, of course, if he just enters restricted free agency at the end of the year. Either way, you've got to pay him $10 million if you want to keep him. And again, $10 million, what I'm guesstimating it costs to keep Justice Winslow. So now all of a sudden, you've got another $10 million contract on the books while you're trying to create cap space, right? So if you move Josh Richardson, that clears one $10 million salary off your cap, and Miami's going to have to clear about $50 million worth of cap, $40 to $50 million. By my math, that they're going to have to clear that much money, not only to keep Jimmy Butler, but to also try to create enough space to add another max salary. And so that all these little $10 million deals, it's going to take moving four or five guys. If you're not able to move a Whiteside or a Tyler Johnson or something, or you know what, even if you're able to move a Whiteside, you're still going to have to clear another $50 million. That's not including Tyler Johnson or Dragic. You know, that accounts for a lot of that, but you know, easier to move Dragic, harder to move Tyler Johnson. We'll see where that goes. But still, you're going to have to move a couple, at least, of those $10 million contracts. So if you sign another one in Justice Winslow, that becomes tough. So let's say that the Heat, then, they move Justice Winslow, and I don't know, let's call it Hassan Whiteside and Winslow for Jimmy Butler. Or even Winslow and Tyler Johnson for Jimmy Butler, because that math works easier for the sake of this. Then they have to figure out a way to still clear that Whiteside money. They have to clear probably James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and then you're left with Josh Richardson at $10 million a year. It's really easy to trade him compared to a guy like Deion Waiters. And if it means, and if Jimmy Butler again has intel that a guy like Kawhi or Kyrie Irving is willing to join him in Miami, do you swallow that pill? Do you trade Josh Richardson for basically cap space? Do you trade him for just draft picks? Do you move Josh Richardson for draft picks and then attach those draft picks to Whiteside or Tyler Johnson to move one of those guys? Ultimately, that could be what it comes down to for the Heat. And the same could be said if they trade Richardson and they end in this Butler deal and they have Winslow. The problem is that if he's a restricted free agent, it's harder to trade Winslow. You can do sign-on trades and stuff like that, but it's harder to trade Winslow than it is to trade Richardson, who's already under contract. So there's a lot that the Heat have to consider here. It's not just, all right, raw talent, who do we like better? Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow. Who do we like better as a fit next to Butler? Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson. It's more than that. It's all these cap gymnastics and things that Andy Ellisberg is so good at. I trust him to do it. That's his job. He's been called a wizard by many people at doing that. So I trust people who are referred to as wizards in whatever their respective field is. I trust Andy Ellisberg. But these are the things that he is considering. And look, it's tough. And I don't envy his position, but it's got to get done. All right. We've got another mailbag question coming up. But just so you know, before we move on, the Locked On Podcast Network is expanding with college shows. Coming up this week, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we've got Locked On Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, Cougars. Whatever mascot you can think of. We don't have all of them, but we got a bunch of them, and we're expanding a lot. We don't have a Locked On Knights yet, but maybe one day we will. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. All right, final question comes from an iTunes review from Billy in Cleveland, who writes in, this is a long one, so keep up with me, guys. Suggestion for a lineup, 1 through 5, Wade, Waiters, Ellington, Winslow, and Whiteside. Wade and Waiters are the only two players who play well with Whiteside because of Wade's alley-oops and Waiters' easy putbacks off of Hassan pick and rolls. So put the ball in their hands and run a series of pick and rolls with Whiteside. You put Ellington and Winslow on the three-point line for driving kicks if the rim isn't open. You've got snipers. Also, Winslow can see the gaps and be a deadly cutter and a willing passer. Defensively, you give up a fair amount putting Ellington and Wade out there at the same time. But with Winslow and Waiters guarding the two best players on the other team and Whiteside doing what he does best, blocking shots and hogging up the paint, the lineup should be able to get a few good minutes in at a time, 3 to 4 minute stretches at the start of the second and fourth quarters while you rest Dragic, Richardson, and Olynyk. I love lineup questions. I'm all about lineup questions because most of what Miami does this season is going to be based on their lineups. Eric Spoelstra's got, 11, 12 guys that he could be playing on any night, and he's going to have to determine not only what guys to play, but in what setting, in what situation, and with whom, and that's tough. And this lineup automatically reminds me of the 2016-17 30-11 streak Heat team. You've got Wade and Waiters. You know, I guess you have Wade sort of playing that Dragic role, driving and kicking to the basket. But they're, you know, that Wade and Waiters pairing is better with Whiteside than even Dragic and Waiters is, because like Billy says, he's right. Wade has just a a cadence with Whiteside that nobody else on the team has. And then you have Ellington, Miami's best three-point shooter, and Winslow sort of taking on those Rodney Magruder, Luke Babbitt roles. And so, look, we know that this works. Yeah, you're giving up a lot defensively, but, you know, I think Ellington works hard on defense. He's at a disadvantage just against other perimeter players, but he does work hard. Waiters is an underrated defender, better than people think. Winslow is obviously near elite as a defender. And Whiteside, when he's engaged, can clean up all of this stuff. I actually like this lineup a lot. You know, you could also, instead of Ellington, put Josh Richardson in there. And I think you start to have a little bit of a better lineup just because I think Richardson is, yeah, he's not as good as a three-point shooter as Ellington, but he more than makes up for it for what he could do on the defensive end. Wade, Waiters, Richardson, Winslow, Whiteside, I like that unit. That works. But this is the framework of something that works. We know that it works. We've seen that it works. That said, Eric Spoelstra, for one reason or another, did move away from that drive and kick offense last season. And I think one of the reasons for that was, number one, at the end of the 2016-17 season, you know, 2 seasons ago, we saw that the offense sort of started to get figured out. Miami didn't make the playoffs that year. They lost a bunch of games at the end. Some of it was due to injury, but they lost winnable games, and I think some of that was because the defense started to figure out that offense. Ultimately, when you basically have two guys who can handle the ball and that's it, it's easy to figure out. We see it happen in Portland every year. They make some new wrinkles to their offense every year, but at the end of the day, it's always Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum doing stuff while the other guys stand around and wait to either catch passes or rebound shots. So there's a limit to what they could do there. That said, if you maybe mix up the characters, Wade, Waiters, Dragic, Tyler Johnson, you're mixing up that group, you know, around them you've got Ellington, Winslow, Josh Richardson, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, all these guys who could shoot threes with Whiteside or Bam in the middle. It's the same system, but a different look. But Spoelstra did, again, he prefers ball movement and player movement. And the drive and kick offense is basically two guys moving while everybody else is out on the perimeter waiting for kickouts. And I think Spo prefers more body movement, more player movement. That said, I like the drive and kick offense. I think it worked. If you mix a little bit more of that in, I think they could afford to do that than they did last year. Again, that it helps when you have a guy like Waiters who can so easily get to the rim. Now, what he does once he gets to the rim is a different question, but he does get to the rim fairly easily. I think they could use more of that. So I like the lineup, Billy. And I like these questions. These were good questions. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. As a reminder, if you want to contribute to our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/lockedonheat and clicking on the questionnaire. We'll have reports from Media Day this week. David will be there tweeting stuff from the account @LockedOnHeat, so make sure you give us a follow on Twitter. And hopefully the next time we talk, Jimmy Butler, there will be something done with Jimmy Butler, so we'll know what's going on that front. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.